For me, my story begins, golly, 43 years ago, in a household where I had two parents who were married to each other, and I think that they were doing the best that they could with what they had, but there was not a lot of healthy emotional boundaries, healthy relationships within the house. I've come to understand a little bit more of my mom's story. And she's not a healthy person. I don't think she was raised by healthy people, and I don't think that she had the capacity to be a healthy person. And there was a lot of neglect in my house. There was sex abuse in my house. There was just so much happening. And I had an adult that was checked out and on drugs and asleep most of the time. And then I had another adult that was actively trying to take care of everyone. And I ended up taking care of other people's feelings and emotions. And I did a pretty good job. I did the best that I could with what I learned. Part of my story involves drugs and alcohol addiction. I started that behavior, and I believe that I started that behavior when I was about 13. I think that the acute pain of not being able to emotionally deal with neglect and the treatment that I was receiving in my house started my alcoholism, or I had my first drink. And I will say within, like, it all kind of comes together. So within the first month of my first drink, I had a drink, a drug, and like sex. So it was just like boom, boom, boom. I went from my drug addiction to my process addiction. I mean, they're just all married together. And so it was really unmanageable. That, I believe, my love addiction led me to a lot of promiscuous situations with men. I lost my virginity with a guy that I didn't like and I didn't know. And I had a lot of sexual relationships between the time I was 14 and the time I was 19 when I got pregnant with my daughter. And I say that because that's all part of my story. And at 19, I was looking for love. I like barely graduated from high school. I was living with my parents, going to community college. And I felt like I got pregnant. I barely knew the guy. And I had his kid. And I did the right thing. Like, I did the best for me and what I could do in that situation, which was I took ownership. I got married and I grew up to the best of my ability. And so I moved in, and we, like, you know, started a little family. And, you know, what I know about that person that I chose to start that lifelong journey with, which at 19, I had no comprehension of, like, beginning a life with somebody for the rest of her life. We were not prepared. I believe that he probably qualifies to be in some of the programs I also qualify to be in. And, you know, I sought out those types of people. Like, I just continued to seek out people. So him, emotionally unavailable. He is completely incapable. He's just completely incapable. He cheated on me, you know, and that doesn't matter. I wasn't available. I was 20 years old. I didn't know. So, you know, immediately after ending that relationship and going through a very painful divorce, I got into another relationship. And this guy I met on the internet, he beats me. He rapes me. He, I think, hurt my child as well. It was really an unhealthy relationship. He was on drugs. And I don't want to talk a lot about my qualifiers, but, like, this kind of sets the tone. They are all the same person. And I think it hit me just this weekend. I was like, I have repeated the same relationship, just a different guy, and they're all my mother. That's what my story looks like. everybody's story is different. Thank goodness this program allows us to qualify in our own ways and our own understanding to the best of our ability. And so, I married men I didn't like. I assaulted men and went to jail. My life was unmanageable, and I still had more than a decade to go before I got here. By the grace of a power greater than myself, I entered the rooms of Alcoholics Anonymous. It saved my life. I walked in and I never walked out. And that happened on December 8th, 2012. And I say that date because life got a little bit better, right? Removing alcohol from my system, I was able to make some healthier choices. So, you know, I end things with a guy I want to marry at the time. After a second marriage and a second divorce and cheating on him and, you know, doing all those great things. And I get sober. I'm 6 months sober. And I end things with this guy that I loved. I had been cheating on my husband with him. I had been dating this guy on and off for 8 years. He told me like 1 month in who he was. And I was like, let's go. 8 years later, I'm like, are we going to get married? And he's like, no, we're not getting married. Like, no. Like, he was not mean. He cried. I cried. We were both sad. We weren't getting married, man. And I just kind of laugh at that because I just was so incapable of acknowledging or understanding. So then I dabbled in anorexia for a while. I was like, I am not good enough to be with anybody. I can't be with anybody. I'm not going to get in a relationship. And I was anorexic for 6.5 years. I mean, I didn't date. I didn't do anything. I think one time I like tried to go on a couple dates with this guy. And at some point he like whispered in my ear and I like wasn't even interested in him. I was just going on dates to go on dates. So my daughter graduates from high school and I start therapy and I walk into therapy. I'm like, oh, I just want to have a healthy relationship. And she says, all right, so let's talk about your family of origin. I was like, I had a great childhood, I was fine. Let's talk about these crazy guys I dated. And like 3 months later, I was like, let me try dating. I dated two guys in AA sobriety and in therapy. The first one stalked me for 9 months. I'm still dealing with the repercussions of that. That ended in 2021. And it is 2024 now. He actually has a court date this Wednesday. And the next guy brought me into the rooms. And thank God for him. Thank you, God, for that man, for my qualifier. It was 18 months. He told me early on who he was. My favorite character defect, two favorite, denial, perfectionism. And he told me who he was. And I was like, yeah, but you're not that person. He's like, but I am. And I look back and I feel like he was so perfectly created in all the ways that like I continued to stay in that relationship. I told him I loved him. He did not reciprocate those words for a year. I was in so much pain at the end of that relationship that I weighed probably 15 pounds less than I do today. I was working 90-hour work weeks. I was smoking cigarettes. I mean, I was not sleeping. I was not well. And grace of a power greater than me, I was not drinking alcohol. And I was getting up every morning and walking out into the woods and screaming at God. I mean, at least I was like trying, right? And so I say that because that was the best that I could do at that point in my recovery. And so I thank you so much for timing me and your service. So I'm hiking out in the woods and I'm yelling at God and I'm just telling God all the things. I'm like, God, do this, God, do that. And just running as fast and as hard as I could. And I'll say this because I was like doing EMDR. I was trying to like work through this childhood stuff that kept coming up. Like we would have an interaction and I would go into an active trauma response. My whole body would start shaking and it was traumatic. It was very traumatic. And like looking back now, it makes so much sense. But I had no clue what was happening. I had no clue I was a sex and love addict. And how could I know? I mean, I had no idea. So I end things with this guy. 30 days later, he comes back and he's like, no, I love you. I want to be with you. I'm like, oh, that's a new phrase. You haven't said that before. Let's try that again. And for 30 days, we tried it again. And in the end, he chose another woman over me. And I was like, okay, like, fuck you. Go to hell. And I never want to speak to you again. And, you know, I look back at that point and I had no sense of self. And I was so wrapped up in that relationship that immediately upon separation, I became suicidal. I mean, I was so suicidal. I was so suicidal that I marched up to an overpass and looked over the side of the overpass. And I say that, I was like, I don't want to say where I live, but I was marching up the road that morning and I just happened to see this like famous artist and he's singing on the stage and I know that he's in recovery. And I thought to myself, if I bet he didn't know what his higher power had planned for him. Anyways, and I was sobbing and I like walk up the overpass and I look over the edge and I'm walking back down and some guy stops on the side of the road. And he just like looks at me and he's like, you know, God's got you. And I was just like, I was like in tears. It was wild. I get into my hotel room and I start crying and I hit my knees and I was like, I will do whatever it takes to get out of this. Like, get me out of here, God, get me out. And he did, or my higher power did. I went to treatment. I spent 28 days at trauma camp and it saved my life. I had for 2 weeks before I went to trauma camp, I had angels like other women in recovery that just stayed with me. Thank God I had that other program. They stayed with me every minute. I mean, I had a woman staying with me in a hotel in another, in across the country. Like it was wild. It was crazy. And so they suggested I come here and I was like, not with you folks, not this. Don't you dare take this from me. And I admitted I was powerless over my sex and love addiction on my 10-year anniversary of my recovery in AA. So 10-year marker, I'm at my bottom. And I came in here and what happened next was like the best thing that ever happened to me. So 12/8/22 is the day I admitted I was powerless over my sex and love addiction. And I got out of treatment. I called a woman. I was like, sponsor me, please. And she's like, oh, let's talk about that. She walked me through the steps. I went into withdrawal. I thought I had been in withdrawal for like the last 8 weeks before I got into this, like got into program. It started when I started the steps. And the withdrawal lasted throughout the steps for me. What I loved about the steps is that one, I got to admit again that I was powerless because I immediately wanted to run back. I wanted to go find him. I wanted to go find her. Yes, all of the things. I got to design a power greater than me. And this higher power is so loving, so kind, so generous, just so abundantly in love with me. I didn't know that my higher power loved me like this. I didn't know that this is what my higher power had planned. I mean, I literally thanked my higher power yesterday. I was like, thank you so much for giving me this plan because I love it. Step two, I started talking to my higher power. I hit my knees every single morning, meditated for 5 minutes. I still do that today. I do that every single day. Hit my knees. Thank you. Hit my knees and then get into my bed and I'm actually in my bed right now. I open my little prayer journal and I write two-way prayers with my higher power every single morning. And that's my 15 minutes of just like coming into the world. And then three, I turned my will over to this power that I had come to know that loved me more than existence. And so by turning my will over, I worked steps 4 through 12. So I wrote it out. I had to write it out a couple times about that qualifier. I mean, I was in so much pain. I had shoved it down so far. I was insane. I was in absolute insanity. What is the definition of insanity? Like doing the same thing and expecting different results. Like every day with this person, I was doing that. But I have been doing it with every guy. I mean, he was not unique. He was just the end. And a woman who had been like in another program, the credits don't transfer, guys. Credits don't transfer. I had been working. I had done so many four steps. But when I got here, I didn't realize how angry I was. And I hadn't allowed perfectionism, hadn't allowed me to be angry. I'm not allowed to be angry. I'm supposed to be perfect and happy and just joyous all the time. And I came to know, you know, I forced up, walked through that, admitted to God, to myself, and to my sponsor, like just how angry I was. 6 and 7, I came to know perfectionism and denial as my two greatest character defects. And I've also come to know in 6 and 7 that these are the things that my higher power gave me to survive and drive me to be the magnificent woman that I am today. And without those character defects, I wouldn't be who I am. And I also have plenty of character assets. And I'm so grateful. I'm so grateful to see who I am and know who I am. I made amends and I let it go. I know how bad I hurt him. I know how bad I hurt so many people, but most of all, I hurt myself. I had to make amends to my higher power too. I was like, I'm sorry for having some crazy expectations that I was God and you weren't. That was my favorite. That was my favorite amend. And 10 and 11 and 12, I'm still sitting in every single day. Right. You know, for me, what's worked is outreach, outreach, outreach. I'm still, you know, my sponsor suggested 3 outreach calls a day, and I still do outreach all the time. I'm so grateful you women want to talk to me and you want to listen to me and you want to share your lives with me. I'm so grateful for that. Service, got service commitments and multiple meetings and just started showing up, making myself known. She suggested 90 and 90. I did 6 months worth of meetings every single day. I needed to hear this stuff. I was so afraid and I wanted to run. I did not want to face this. But as I came to face it, I came to know that my higher power had this plan for me and that like, that there's nothing that I could have done any differently. That my higher power had me on this journey for a reason and a purpose. And that I am guided here to do this work every single day. I needed 6 months of meetings every single day. I needed a new therapist. I started seeing a CSAT. That changed my life. I mean, I feel like an hour with that woman is like 3 months of therapy. Like, it's amazing. She understands me. I understand myself better today too. I understand that process addiction is a lot different than drug addiction and alcoholism. You know, I think about that, like when I set my bottom lines, I had to say that I wasn't going to drink. I wasn't going to smoke. I wasn't going to go back to my qualifier. 1 minute. Thank you. I blocked my qualifier. Anyone that was related to my qualifier, anyone that was a friend of my qualifier. And I actually went through social media for me and for my like initial bottom lines. I ended up saying, you know, I'm just going to turn off the internet. I'm going to turn off social media. And I really haven't gone back. I don't have an interest in like knowing about people's lives. Like, I'm good. I've got enough to worry about here, like just taking care of me and doing the best that I can. And I think most of all, the most important thing that I've learned is that I've learned that, you know, as much as like that inner critic and that part of me that beats me up, she's still alive and well. She kept me alive. She got me here. But I've also come to know like that sweet, sensitive little person inside of me and nurture her and love her in a way and reinforce like all the things that she didn't receive. Love her and see her and know her and validate her in the ways that like she was never seen or known as a little person. Sex and Love Addicts Anonymous has saved my life. You women have saved my life. I'm so grateful that this is the membership that I get today. I'm so grateful to that you guys were willing to hear my share tonight. So thank you all. I'm so grateful.